This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
I've been preparing for this all my life.
Here's Porter on Harden, taking him to school.
What a great play by Jayshon Tate.
KJ Martin climbed Boban Mountain.
Team on at 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
And you've seen tonight that we fought together, we stayed together, and it's about damn time, man.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, the best and only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. And if you enjoy what we do here at Locked On Rockets, be sure to hit subscribe to our brand new YouTube channel, closing in on 1,300 subscriptions. Super exciting stuff going on the YouTube side of things, as well as Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you listen to your podcast, we would sincerely appreciate it. Now, today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Be sure to download the app and join each week live to get in on the action. Spotify Green Room, changing the way that we talk sports. For today's episode, we got some wacky news to talk about. NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks. I'm going to talk about them just a little bit in today's episode because, I mean, good story there. Great finals. I want to talk about that. Talk about PJ Tucker, you know, Houston Rockets fan favorite PJ Tucker and you know, his ability, or I guess the fact that he is now an NBA champion. But I want to get to the important news here, which is this news that is circulating that the Rockets are aggressively pursuing Damian Lillard among other like potential suitors for Dame if he should be traded away from the Portland Trailblazers. So I really want to focus on that because that's the big juicy part of what I want to talk about today. Because my immediate reaction to the news that the Rockets might be pursuing Lillard is why, right? And I think there's a lot to unpack there. I think that it's very clear that Rafael Stone is just, you know, entertaining any and all options, right? And my immediate reaction was kind of negative to this because I think, and as for many other people, right, you think about it and you're like, okay, well, if they're looking at pursuing Dame, you're more than likely talking about the Trailblazers asking for that number two overall pick, which is like, you know, a knife in the heart of all Rockets fans because we're kind of ready for this rebuild. We're ready for a new era of Rockets basketball and bringing in another guy who's on the wrong side of 30, you know, 31 years old for Dame, you know. Look, if you couldn't get it done with James Harden, what makes you think you can get it done with Damian Lillard as your, you know, franchise centerpiece? But then there's the alternative route of, okay, what if they don't have to give up the number two overall pick to get Dame? Like at that point, is it suddenly a little bit more palpable, the idea of, okay, well, what does that trade look like? I mean, Dame's making, you know, over $40 million a year. You'd have to include John Wall more than likely for salary matching purposes. So then at that point, what does it look like? Does it look like, okay, maybe you flip Wall and some of the future draft capital from the Brooklyn Nets deal for Dame? I mean, does that become a slightly better situation for the Rockets? Because then maybe you're bringing Dame into the fold instead of John Wall. Maybe then the Rockets potentially are looking to lean somewhere else with that number two overall pick, potentially go the Evan Mobley route instead of the Jalen Green route. There's a lot of different dominoes that would have to fall for this to make sense. But as reported by Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, there's like legitimate interest there that the Rockets are pursuing, you know, a potential deal with the Blazers. They're kind of kicking the tires, seeing what it would look like, and that there's smoke there, right? There's legitimate interest. And again, I'm torn because there's another, right? So it's an option, right? Behind door number one, trade the number two overall pick for Dame, which would just be, I think would be a horrendous mistake. Behind door number two, trade John Wall and, you know, some combination of future draft capital for Dame. Slightly better option because then you get off of John Wall's contract, you get a guy who's probably a little bit more suited to lead a team as the number one option in Damian Lillard instead of John Wall. And then door number three is the kind of wild one where you think about, okay, what if the Rockets were to pull off two subsequent trades where trade one in some shape or fashion is for Damian Lillard. Now, whatever that means, right? You give up the number two, you don't give up the number two, future draft capital, whatever, current crop of guys. And then trade number two would be between whichever one you didn't use, whichever asset you didn't use between the number two overall pick this year or future draft capital. You take the one that you didn't use in the Dame trade and you throw all of that or a chunk of that at another established player somewhere in the age range, again, of Dame. And then you basically create a new duo here in Houston with Dame, conceivably some of the current supporting cast in potentially, you know, Christian Wood, Jayshon Tate, Eric Gordon, and, you know, whoever the secondary name is that you bring in. Again, maybe it's a, you know, a Bradley Beal type or a Karl Anthony Towns or I don't know, somebody that's out there that is proven to an extent, but hasn't accomplished a whole lot, I guess. And I'm still not, I mean, I come away thinking that anything short of the Rockets drafting one of these top four prospects, be it Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, or Jalen Suggs, is a mistake. You know, Rafael Stone speaking to the media saying that he, you know, that they're still not, you know, set on whether or not they pick at number two or they trade, you know, up or down or do something with the pick. Again, it's all just GM speak. He's not going to box himself into any one particular option, any one particular route. And I respect that to an extent, but at the same time, I'm just very much looking forward to getting this draft over with at this point, because I think a lot of Rockets fans are a little antsy about what happens with this pick. Now, again, if Stone is able to package, you know, some assets and move up to number one and take Cade, great. If it stays at number two and they go Green or Mobley, great. If they trade down to pick number three or even pick number four and accumulate even more assets for the future, great. But I cannot see a logical reason why trading for a player like Damian Lillard makes sense. Although I will try and approach it from another angle here coming up in segment two, because I do think there is some additional reasoning that I want to talk about. But first, a quick message from our friends over at Spotify Green Room, because Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. You can join the app and talk with me, athletes, insiders, other fans in real time about your favorite team or sport. So in this case, the Houston Rockets. Go download the app, create a profile. You can follow me at JT Gatlin. You can follow Ali Khan at Rockets_insider. It's super fun. You can jump in there, jump up on the stage, chat with us, all that good stuff. Spotify Green Room, changing the way that we talk sports. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Now, what I wanted, the other side of this potential Damian Lillard, you know, rumor that I wanted to tackle is, it's important to note that the Rockets didn't want to move on from James Harden, right? They really held out on trying to keep James Harden. They wanted to rebuild around him. And then even post James Harden, right? The whole reason for the Victor Oladipo acquisition was not only to maintain future flexibility, but it was also in their minds, in Rafael Stone's mind, in Steven Silas's mind, it was their best chance with the cards that they were dealt, you know, in the aftermath of the James Harden situation to remain competitive in this previous season. And we saw kind of a glimpse of what that team might have been able to become, which is kind of a gritty defensive, you know, defense first identity team with that backcourt of John Wall and Oladipo and Jayshon Tate, Christian Wood pre-injury. You know, they were the number one rated defense in the league for a period of 2 or 3 weeks there almost. And there's a legitimate thought process behind, okay, they wanted to be competitive. They didn't want to bottom out. They didn't want to tank. They didn't want to be the worst team in the NBA this past season. None of that, right? They didn't want any of that in the post-James Harden era. That was not their goal. Now, it just kind of happened organically because of the plethora of injuries and just everything that this team dealt with this past season. So it just kind of naturally happened. And then by the end of the season, you're like, okay, they're the worst record in the NBA. Now they have the best, you know, best case odds of keeping their pick. And they kept their pick at number two overall. Great. The organization didn't want to tank. So with that being said, it kind of makes sense that they might be intrigued by the idea of another, you know, top 15, top 10, maybe. You know, I don't know. I always go back and forth on whether or not Dame is like truly a top 10 or a top 15 player. He's definitely in that range, but like whether he truly cracks top 10, it's probably that top 10 is pretty jam packed, but I think top 15 is probably a safe bet. So if there's a top 15 player available in Damian Lillard, even though he's 31 years old, and if the Rockets are in play for him, depending on what the asking price is, Rafael Stone's probably a little bit intrigued by that. And they're probably intrigued in the standpoint of, okay, if they don't view John Wall as a guy who is going to be a long-term fit for this team, if they don't think he can be a number one option for this team moving forward, and if they're interested in jump-starting a rebuild rather than doing a traditional build it from the ground up, develop a young core, all of that, then this might be their best chance to acquire an established star without giving up too much in the way of, you know, future draft capital, that kind of thing. Because I'll admit, the idea of bringing Damian Lillard into the fold in place of John Wall without giving up the number two overall pick is kind of interesting, right? Like, again, we're kind of looking at these future assets from Brooklyn as kind of these, you know, golden goose eggs of, okay, well, what could they be, right? What are we going to package, you know, all these picks for, and what established player are we going to throw the bag at down the line? I mean, I think it's jumping the gun a little early on Dame to want to use a chunk of those assets on him. But at the same time, if you're offloading John Wall, you're getting a better player back, you kind of make the team relevant. And then who better than to potentially kind of take under his wing or under their wing, under his wing? There we go. How do I want to say that? Right. If you bring Dame in, right, it would be kind of cool to let KPJ and Jalen Green, if they draft Jalen Green and keep the number two overall pick, to let those two, you know, potential down the line, you know, star level guards learn from Damian Lillard, who's had, you know, a really, really strong career as a guard, as a top 15 guy in the NBA. John Wall, arguably so. He's had a great career as well, but I think it's very clear, you know, Dame is a very clear step up from John Wall in that regard. Is it the right move? I'm not going to talk myself into it. I don't think it's the right move. That's kind of where I do come away from it at, is, you know, maybe it's just a smokescreen. Maybe the Rockets are just trying to get involved to potentially be like a third team facilitator in some form of a Damian Lillard trade. Maybe they want to see if they can, you know, throw in a player or two and get back some capital, whatever that may be. But again, the report from KOC of the Ringer says that the Rockets are definitely in the mix, not as a team that is trying to facilitate part of a trade, but is actually interested in Dame. And that is, again, kind of an interesting report. There's not really, again, it's kind of so random, right? Because it felt like, based on comments from the front office and, you know, what we've kind of heard out of the Rockets front office for the past, you know, couple months, talking about, you know, wanting to rebuild the right way and wanting to, you know, grow something that's permanent, those kinds of comments, it sounds like they wanted to go the traditional rebuilding route. And obviously we'll kind of have a more firm understanding of what this truly looks like after the NBA draft takes place, because there's so many moving parts that could happen on draft night, right? There's the potential for a Rockets, you know, Pacers trade to get them the 13th overall pick. There's this potential Damian Lillard situation where, you know, who knows where Dame is going to wind up. And that's not even factoring in that the Rockets might not have the best, you know, possible package to offer for Damian Lillard, right? You look at the haul that James Harden got. You look at the haul that a guy like even Drew Holiday got, you know, now for the Milwaukee Bucks, the NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks. And you're looking at what Damian Lillard is going to be able to produce, or be able to, I guess, net, I should say, for the Portland Trailblazers in any potential trade. And I wouldn't be comfortable, if I'm the Houston Rockets, giving up multiple first round draft picks for a guy who's 31 years old, for a guy who doesn't even match the timeline of your current crop of guys, right? You know, if you're looking at trying to jumpstart a rebuild, then you, I guess you're looking more so at the timeline of Christian Wood, Jayshon Tate, around that 25-year-old mark. Dame is 6 years older than those guys. And I know that it's hard to find those types of players. It truly is. And the NBA is such an... It's such a difficult landscape to navigate in the sense that you don't want to be caught in purgatory like, you know, the Knicks for the last decade, or like the Sacramento Kings, where you find yourself in a cycle of, you know, bottoming out and being like sort of good and kind of being on the cusp of like, you know, drafting these, you know, lottery projected talents and just not having them pan out. And each season you're like, okay, this is our year. We're going to get a good pick and then we're going to draft the right player and we're going to put all the pieces together this season. It's tough unless you find yourself with one of those top 10 or top 15 level players. So you're hoping that in the NBA draft, which is kind of a crapshoot, to be honest, you're hoping that you find one of those top 10, top 15 type level guys to be able to, you know, move your franchise back into relevancy within a few years. You know, you draft them, you develop them, you grow them, and then they take you to the promised land down the line. I think the Milwaukee Bucks are kind of a solid example of that. And it's a win for small market teams, right? Giannis was drafted by the Bucks, developed by the Bucks, and he decided to re-sign his extension there and walks away a champion, right? They committed to him. They committed the money to putting around a solid team around him. They made the trade for Jrue Holiday, all of that. And it all panned out wonderfully for them. It's an absolute win for small market teams. And it's a win for players to be able to point to and look at that and say, I don't have to go, you know, join a super team. I don't have to, you know, team up with a couple of my buddies to win a title in the NBA. I can do it like, I don't want to call it, say, do it the right way, but right, you can stick with the team that drafted you. And if the team that drafted you makes the right decisions and puts the right pieces around you, you can win, right? You put in the time, the effort, the dedication. And Giannis did that, right? And I know this is a Rockets podcast and we have like previous historical beef with Giannis, but if you just set aside your Rockets biases for a minute, and you just look at what he did in the finals, it's historic stuff. You know, a 50 piece to close out the Suns in game six, it was just unbelievably ridiculous. And I want to talk about that a little bit because I feel like I've hammered the Damian Lillard thing to death almost. There's not really, you know, I'm looking at it thinking that, again, I keep coming away thinking there's not really a case to be made for pursuing Dame. And I will be disappointed in almost any scenario in which Damian Lillard becomes a Houston Rocket, unless it's an absolute steal by Rafael Stone, where he works over the Blazers organization. That's the only way that it would make any sense to me, because again, you're talking about, you'd have to include John Wall for salary matching purposes, but then what do the Blazers want back for that? They're going to want back the number two overall pick, or they're going to want back future capital, or they're going to want back some combination of the young budding players on the Rockets' current roster. And really at any point, I say no to almost all three of those combinations, unless we're talking like, I don't know, a two future first or something. And even then, the Blazers are going to get a better offer than that for Dame. So that's where I'm going to put a pin in that conversation, because I don't think it's the right move. And that's kind of where I'm going to hang my hat on that, but TBD. So coming up, I do want to talk about the NBA Finals just very briefly, talk about PJ Tucker a little bit. Really, really happy for the Tuck Wagon. And we're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Because look, if you've never had a protein bar that you actually care about, that you've actually enjoyed, right? You look at protein bars and you're like, oh, it's such a chore. I got to eat it now. Check out Built Bar. They've got so many great flavors to choose from. You got raspberry, cookies and cream, German chocolate, my personal favorite, coconut brownie chunk. You cannot go wrong with any of the Built Bars on their menu. Every single bar, low cal, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They are great. And I mean great if you're on a keto diet. So check them out at builtbar.com. Be sure to use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your very next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. And we got one more message from our friends over at rockauto.com, because at the end of the day, look, chain stores, they never have the parts you need, right? You pull up and you're like, hey, I've got this car and I need XYZ. And they're like, oh, we actually don't carry that. You know, you got to go online and get it. So just visit rockauto.com. And the best part is the prices at rockauto.com, they're always reliably low. Why would you want to spend up to 30, 50, or even 100% more for the exact same parts? Just check out rockauto.com. Their catalog, super easy to navigate. You can find stuff like brake lamps, motor oil, brand new carpet, you name it. They've got it over at rockauto.com. Check them out when you're there picking out your parts and everything, exploring the website. As you head to that checkout option, be sure to write "Locked On" in there. How did you hear about us box so that they know that we sent you? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Now, I do want to say a little bit on the draft front before I dive, into the NBA Finals, a little bit of discussion here at the tail end. But I do want to share, there was, a report from, I believe, Jeremy Wu, ESPN's Jeremy Wu. I want to double check my notes here on that. Where is it? I had it here like 4 seconds ago. There it is. I apologize. Sports Illustrated's Jeremy Wu got that mixed up. But that Jalen Green's camp actually prefers or is believed to prefer, I should say, the Houston Rockets over the Cleveland Cavaliers at the number 3 pick. So sounds like Green's camp is like set on the Rockets, which is kind of a good sign because there's been so many different signs from around the league, the other, other sources and whatnot, pointing to Green becoming a Rocket and that the Rockets are favoring Jalen Green. But now we're starting to hear that Green's camp favors Houston instead of Cleveland, which, hey, I mean, it's not a hard pick, right? But sorry, I don't mean to be slanderous towards Cleveland here, but it's Cleveland. So anyways, I've never been to Cleveland. I can't even do that, right? Like, I don't know. It's probably a wonderful city. But legitimately, this is a good sign because it looks like Jalen Green is, open to the idea of playing for the Houston Rockets. It sounds like Jalen Green is only planning to work out for the Detroit Pistons and the Houston Rockets. So it sounds like he is very, confident in the fact that he's going to go at number 1 or number 2 overall. So this is a win for the Green gang because it really does sound like Jalen Green is going to become a Houston Rocket. Unless the Rockets trade up or down in this year's draft, it really sounds like if the Rockets pick at number 2, it's going to be Jalen Green. And so that's kind of where my gut is telling me this draft is headed. It sounds like Cade is going to go number 1 overall to the Pistons. It sounds like Jalen Green is going to go number 2 overall to the Rockets. And that'll be that. Now, whatever happens with, the 23rd, 24th overall picks, that is still kind of TBD. Ali Kambijani and I are going to have a great breakdown for you guys discussing some prospects at 23, 24. I believe we're going to go over Trey Mann, Trey Murphy III, and JT Thor were the most common names. We went on Twitter and asked who you guys wanted to hear from, and we decided to go with those three names. So we'll have that episode coming up later this week. But I want to talk about the NBA Finals just a little bit because I do think it was a really exciting NBA Finals. I think that a lot of people, myself included, kind of wrote off the Milwaukee Bucks when the Suns went up 2-0. I still think that the Suns definitely didn't play their best brand of basketball the past couple games in the series, Game 5, Game 6. They definitely struggled. I think that Milwaukee did an excellent job of taking them out of a lot of the different things that they wanted to do. But I really want to highlight PJ Tucker here for a moment. I'm ecstatic for PJ. And it seems like there's a lot of, surprisingly, like a lot of mixed emotions regarding PJ Tucker with Rockets fans. And I didn't really, I don't really get that because PJ was a professional like through and through with his time here in Houston, and it wasn't until here's my thing, I don't blame PJ Tucker for mentally checking out after the James Harden thing. I kind of don't. I feel like there's a lot of people that do kind of hold him accountable to that, and they don't like his mentality toward, but he still showed up and did his job even post James Harden trade. And it wasn't until it was evident that this team wasn't doing anything of relevance this season. It wasn't until the 20 game losing streak and all that PJ Tucker and his agent had a discussion with Rafael Stone. And were like, yeah, we're not coming back. Just we need to find a trade, get PJ out of Houston. And that was an agreement that they came to, right? So I don't fault him for that at all. He showed up, he did his job. He came to, he started every, he was a consummate professional through and through. And he was a fan favorite here in Houston for 3 seasons, right? did his work on a nightly basis. And I can't wrap my head around fans who are like upset with PJ Tucker, who can't be happy for him winning the title, right? Like that part doesn't, I'm not going to say that you're wrong for that. You're entitled to feel the way that you feel about PJ Tucker. And if you feel that he slighted the Rockets in some capacity, fine. Far be it from me to, you know, correct you on that. But I do think that it's completely different scenarios, right? Because again, once James Harden like forced his way out, all the expectations for this team went out the window. And PJ Tucker still showed up, still did his job until it was evident that this team wasn't doing anything this season. And so PJ Tucker, in the final year of his deal with no contract extension on the table, again, was upset that he didn't get a contract extension to start the season. So the Rockets kind of, you know, not knowing what was going to happen with the James Harden situation, obviously didn't want to commit long-term money to PJ Tucker. So credit to them for not doing that. But I don't blame PJ for being upset about that. Like, he didn't get his contract extension. He busted his ass for this organization for 3 years and he wanted to be extended, didn't get it, still showed up, still did his job and got traded to the Milwaukee Bucks and was an integral part of their team that won an NBA title. So I couldn't be happier for PJ Tucker at the end of the day. I was, you know, pulling for the Suns. I wanted to see CP3 win his ring. It's just not the way the cards fell for the Suns. They got outclassed by Giannis. I mean, he put on an absolute show. The game five from all three of the Milwaukee Bucks best players, Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday, was sensational. And then Giannis putting up a 50 piece in game six to seal the deal. It was an all-time finals performance. And now PJ Tucker gets to be an NBA champion. And he went through the gauntlet, right? Which is the super disappointing part. Trevor Ariza in round one, James Harden in round two, Clint Capella in round three, and then Chris Paul in the finals. So PJ Tucker, having gone through the gauntlet of ex-Rockets from the 2017-2018 campaign, which is just, again, you know, talk about salt in the wound. But I'm happy for PJ Tucker. And if you're not, like, if you're indifferent towards it, fine. But if you're like actively like against PJ Tucker having won the title, then I feel like you need to recheck your priorities just a little bit. But that's going to be where I sign things off for. We've got some really exciting episodes coming up later this week. We're going to have, again, Ali Kambijani and I are going to be breaking down some of those prospects in that 23-24 range. We're also going to have a very special guest who is extremely close with one Jalen Green coming on a little bit later this week. So don't want to miss out on that. But for today's episode, that is going to wrap things up. Be sure to check out our Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey, featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, Chad Ford, and Odyssey NBA experts, Brian Scalabrine, and former general manager, Ryan McDonough. Our Locked On NBA local experts, that's me, are going to make selections and trades for your favorite basketball teams throughout the week-long special event. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. But again, for today's episode, that's going to do it. If you haven't subscribed yet, be sure to subscribe to our brand new YouTube channel. Subscribe to the podcast feed, Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. But as always, thank you so much for watching and for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.